The message today is entitled, It Shall Come to Pass. Now, Jesus, we know the message of the gospel. Those who are in church, those watching online, and there are many of you that are beginning to watch online, and I thank you. I know you consider Grace your home church, and we receive that, and we are praying for you. But you online, you in the sanctuary who follow this ministry, the teachings that the Lord gives to Pastor Jason and I, we speak very heavily on things that are happening in the world, prophetic things. And if you know where we're coming from, because the Bible identifies a certain group of people, and I believe, you know, there are pastors, evangelists, and teachers, but the Bible also speaks of another type of ministry. It's called watchers. And what watchers are they are people, and it's open to all of the body of Christ. You do not have to be a pastor. You do not have to be in up here at the pulpit to be a watcher. A watcher is someone who is a Christian, a Holy Spirit-filled Christian, and they understand the signs of the times. They understand what is happening in this world, and they know that it's all pointing to the return of Jesus, to the coming of a final Antichrist, and to the end of the church age, and to the beginning of the Great Tribulation age. And so that is what a watcher is. And so the Lord has put that prophetic ministry, that prophetic spirit of the watcher on this church for a long time. And so all glory to the Holy Spirit and to Him alone, because without Him, there is no revelation. Without Him, there is no understanding of what is to come to pass. We know that Jesus, in the form of God, came and died on the cross. Why? To pay for the sins of all who would repent of their sins and come to Christ. We understand that message, and that's what a lot of churches are speaking about today, but we speak that message every week. We speak about repentance of sin every week. We speak about the cross every week. We speak about all of these things. But I want to dig deep this morning. And I'm not underestimating or undervaluing the cross. Of course not. Without the cross, we are lost forever. But I want to go a little deep this morning and speak about the things that are happening in real time right now. And what I want to tell you is that it shall come to pass. And now I would like for you to bear with me for a moment. You may have said, I have heard some of these things, but there are some things that the Lord has put on my heart that I never really saw in Scripture, but they are there, and you will see them for yourself. It's the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit who gives revelation. Only the Holy Spirit. And He confirms it by His written word. So as we look to the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, 17 through 21, Peter preaches the greatest sermon of his life. It's the first sermon of the church. They're a newly appointed apostles. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says something incredible that echoes to this very day to the church, in the halls of the church. And it says here, and it shall come to pass, he says, that in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all your flesh, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now I want to speak right there. Let me ask you, as you look at that scripture, do you believe we're in the last days? It's either a yes or a no. And if you believe we are in the last days, and I'm going to tell you, I do not believe we're in the last days. I believe we're in the last hour. It's not the end of the world. The end of the world is not coming. The end of the church age is coming to an end. The end of the church age is coming to an end. A new age is about to begin. You have to understand, the Bible speaks about ages. The Bible speaks about the age of the garden. After Adam and Eve sinned, that was the first age, and they were cast out of the garden. That was the first age. The age of Noah, when the flood came, that was another age. The age of the Old Testament and the age of the New Testament. We're in the church age now. For the past 2,000 years, we have been in the church age. And Jesus, the Bible, from the New Testament to the Old Testament, the Bible speaks about ages. And we are in the church age, and we are coming to the end of the church age, which has been in existence for 2,000 years, okay? When Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead. I want you to understand this, because at the end of this church age will begin a new age, a 7-year tribulation age. And that will consist of a final Antichrist, one man who will rule the entire world. And I want you to understand something. The world is being prepped to come under one person. if you know, you look at politics, you look at religions, you look at all of these things, economy, everybody is suffering. There was an article that came out this week in Newsweek, and they did a survey, a really strong survey of thousands upon thousands of religious people in America. Whether you're a Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, they went on and on. They interviewed many people of different faiths in houses of worship in America. And they asked these people, what is your faith? Check. How many times do you attend your religious gatherings in your buildings? Check. They got all these answers. And they came to an astounding fact. A fact. And here's the fact. The fact is, all across the board of all different types of faiths, that attendance in the houses of worship, in the Christian church, in Buddhas, in temples, in the mosque of Islam, all of them are at an all-time low in America. And you know what that tells me? That tells me, because the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, that tells me that regardless of you're a Christian or not, attendance in religious gatherings are at an all-time low in America because people, regardless of their faith, are getting desensitized with their faith because a new faith is on the horizon. Everybody loves to go to the new gas station. Everybody loves to go to the new grocery store. Everybody loves a new car. They just don't want to pay for it, but they'll love a new car. Everybody loves a new baby. Everybody loves new things. Jesus said many years ago, I make all things new. And God will say in the end, I will make all things new. But there is one who is coming on the face of this earth who is going to introduce a religion that no human has ever heard of before. And it's going to come to a people who are tired of what they've been brought up in, regardless if they're a Christian or not. And they're going to run to this new introduction of a faith that's really rooted from the throne of Satan. The world is already being prepped for this. We see people are already accepting ideologies, transgenderism, all of these things, you name it. People are accepting of this worldwide. Why? They're going against the teachings of God. And because of that, we know we're at the end of the church age. Now I want to speak to you, Acts 2:17-21. Again, Peter says, it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit, His Holy Spirit, upon all flesh. Who? The people of God. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What does that mean? That you will preach. You will speak. You used to speak curse words, but now you're going to speak the things of God. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Have you have dreams from God? Do you have a dream and you're like, where did that come from? But I know that was not for me. I know that was something that was deep. It was something from, that's God speaking to you. God is faithful. So we look at this in verse 17 and 18, that God is saying, I'm going to do a great thing in the last days. God says, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit in the last day. Why? Because these things shall come to pass. Now bear with me, please. Follow me, please. In verse 19, it says, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. God is saying, I'm going to speak to the world by wonders, by signs. I'm going to show things by blood, by fire, vapor, and smoke. What does this mean? By earthquakes, by epidemics, by wars, by pain. God is saying, I'm going to show you wonders in the heavens. You know, with the solar eclipses and the lunar eclipses and the blood moons. The past 10 years, now than ever before, all the world is captivated by the signs in the heavens. When I grew up in my day, nobody ever paid attention to that stuff as much as they do today. That's a fact. You can find many people in the United States of America that will tell you that is a fact in America. They never paid attention to all of these things. The schools would never make big events of all of these things. But God said it 2,000 years ago, I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. And now pull that up, please, verse 19. That vapor of smoke, thank you very much. That vapor of smoke, that is symbolic of war. Not just volcanic activity, because if you look at the word says, and the earth beneath, that means not only inside the earth, but also below heaven. There's going to be fire, vapor, blood. And so we have to understand that these things are coming to pass in the heavens and on earth. Verse 20 says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. That is symbolic of solar eclipses and blood moons. People have been fascinated with these over the past 10, 15 years, now in the world more than ever before. And this is all going to come to pass. The world gets captivated with these things. In Kerrville, Texas, where my wife's family lives, in 2017, when they had that solar eclipse, over 100,000 people flooded Kerrville, Texas that day. My brother-in-law is telling me that they are expecting more than 100,000 people here in a week to be in that Kerrville just for one day to witness this. This used to never happen in America. Now, what does this have to do with it shall come to pass? What does this have to do with Resurrection Sunday? It has everything to do. Because as Christ rose from the dead, God wants us to rise from the ashes of sin, from the ashes, to live a life that is holy, to live a life where you'll find victory, that you'll find peace, that you'll find joy, that you'll know your place in the family of God. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass. Look at that. Verse 21, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the last day, there's going to come things that are going to come to pass that if you do not call on the name of the Lord, you shall be lost. You shall be lost not just on this world, you shall be lost for eternity. Jesus came to the cross for a reason, to pay for the penalty of your sin. But if you keep refusing Jesus, if you keep rejecting the testimony of the cross, then you judge yourself. And this is the plea in the heart of God, to stop running from God, to stop debating the things that you see with your eyes and receive it by faith that God is who he says he is. Receive this by faith. It shall come to pass that who calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus, shall be saved. That's where we say amen, church. That's where we say hallelujah. In Genesis 1:14, I want to show you evidence of what I just spoke about. When God is making the sun, the moon, the stars, everything, man, it says here in Genesis 1:14, it says, then God said, in the New King James, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And look, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. The sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations, everything. It's not just for day and to make day and night, but it's also for signs. It's to tell us when the seasons are here. It's to tell us the days and the years of where we're at. Signs. Signs. Matthew 2:2 says this. Look, the men from the east, they said, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. You see, ancient people understood the things of God greater than we do. Ancient people knew the things of God by looking at the heavens. And this is the story, this passage, of the three wise men from the east. They came to King Herod. They said, we saw his star. We know that the Messiah has come, the King of the Jews. Why did they know? Because many years before, Daniel was taken captive into Babylon, and Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar and the Medes and the Persians about the things of God, about the coming of the Messiah, the King of the Jews. It was that same Daniel that had visions about the coming of the Antichrist, the end of the ages, all of this. That same Daniel that where Jesus is reading in Matthew 24 about the end of the age, that Jesus says, let the reader understand from what the prophet Daniel has said. Daniel was the one who told these men, look, Matthew 2:2, and these men, they came to King Herod. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. The ancients knew the signs of times. They knew God had come down to visit them by looking at the signs. Why? Because in Genesis 1:14, God said, that is for the signs of when I move. But today, because knowledge has greatly increased, technology has come in, we depend on these things. We look at our phones all the time. We're on the internet all the time. And we do not seek Jesus at all. We think we're a smarter people today than the ancients were, but yet those men recognized the coming of the Jews, of the King of the Jews. So my question is this to a society who thinks they know it all. Does God still show what he's about to do by the signs in the sky? The Bible says God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Luke 21, 25 through 28, this is Jesus speaking. He's speaking about the end of the age, and here's what he says. Jesus says, "And there will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And here on the earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides." Those who know their Bible understand that the roaring seas and the strange tides are not just creation, but it's more importantly, it symbolizes the people of the earth. Today, we have people roaring, tossing, and giving their strange ideas, given alternatives to the truths of God. You could be whoever you want to be. You don't have to be what God made you to be. The plan of God was this, but we're going to go this way. That is what the world does today. And Jesus spoke about this. There'll be strange signs. How do we know that the nations will be in turmoil and they'll be perplexed by the people of the earth? Because the signs will be in the heavens. We'll know it. There you go. But today, so many in the church say, nothing to see here, move along. This is a bunch of hocus pocus. That's just scientific stuff. Well, let me give you a little thing I pulled up here. NASA, did you know what this next solar eclipse that's coming out? NASA is shooting 3 rockets at the solar eclipse. Now go and look this up. This is on every news site out there. News, NASA, on their website, they're even saying this. NASA is going to shoot 3 rockets at the solar eclipse. They're doing a test. The space agency project, which is called the Atmospheric, oh gosh, that's a big word, perturbations around the eclipse path, will investigate how that drop in sunlight and temperature affects Earth's upper atmosphere. It's abbreviated APEP, A-P-E-P. It is named after the serpent deity from ancient Egyptian mythology, which was the nemesis of the sun deity Ra, according to NASA. So what does APEP stand for in mythology? APEP is the Greek name for Apophis. It was the evil god of darkness and the main antagonist of the Egyptian mythology, Ra, the sun god. He was the enemy of the Egyptian solar god. But NASA takes this naming and they place it upon their institution that is doing these experiments in the heavens. They name it after a serpent deity. Nothing to see here. This is all just coincidence. This is all just mythology. It's all just mythology. Jesus says here in Matthew 21, 26, people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. We haven't seen nothing yet. Jesus says in verse 27, then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand up and look up, for your salvation is near. Jesus is saying, the world will know I'm coming by the signs. You see, because when Jesus first came as a baby, it was announced by a star. Fact. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back in the twinkle of an eye for his church, to take his church, and they suddenly disappear and go to heaven. The Bible speaks of a wedding feast in heaven, while the tribulation age takes place on the earth, 7 years of hell on the earth, of blood, fire, vapor, and smoke. We're entering into this new age. The church age is coming to an end, so therefore my time as a Christian on this earth is coming to an end. But you know, people are still going to go. The Bible, you know what the Bible ends with? The Bible says, let those who are evil continue to do evil. Let those who are good continue to do good. You know, it's sad that there are people in this world that see all these things, that know the things of God, but yet they still choose to do evil. Because that is how the Bible ends in the last chapter. You're sitting in the house of God, all of us. We sit in the house of God, and we should be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because this is the hospital. But yet, people are being uprooted in their faith. Not just Christians, everybody. Everybody across the board. Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims. They're all being uprooted. Why? Because of the coming of an introduction of a new religion is on the horizon. Even though I believe with all my heart, Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. No one can come to the Father. No one can go to heaven, but only through Jesus Christ and his teachings. Amen. Now, people will listen to what I'm saying, and here's what 1 Corinthians 1:18 says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What I'm saying here this morning, if it's foolishness to you, if it doesn't stir you, you're perishing right now. Because this is not my story. This is not my word. This is the word of God. I'm reading out of the Holy Bible. I'm showing undeniable proof how God speaks to the world by signs in the heavens. And if you don't believe that, and if you don't receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you think what I'm saying is foolishness, it's because you're perishing. Because you have been so deceived by the spirit of Satan in this world. And he is the god of this world, the small letter G. He is fooling you to think that you can get into heaven by your own merits, that you'll have time to repent, and you know, or that you can kind of, you know, twist your way. And that's what preachers do today. They pervert the word, they twist the word, they butter it up, they little extra salt and pepper on it. When God said in the beginning, it is perfect. God's word does not need to be changed. You do not need to be altered in your physical appearance. You know, to say, no, a boy was a girl and a girl was a boy. No, these are things that are all coming against God, and it's very evidently clear that what we see this. The message of the cross, look at that, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Do you want the power of God in your life today? Then come to the cross of Jesus. Come to the cross of Jesus. It's not going to come from the Baptist church, the Pentecostal church. It's not going to come through any denomination or any religion. It's going to come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where it's going to come. And Jesus has got to get real with you, because this is all hitting the fan. It's hitting the road. And I'm telling you, the lives of our children are at stake here.
Amen.
The next generation. If the Lord tarries another 5 years, another 10 years, what are we handing to the next generation? What are we delivering to the next generation of people where we said we were faithful on our watch? Now it's your turn. I know when I first came to the Lord in 1988, mostly a lot of those people are dead and gone now. But as a 16-year-old boy, somebody prayed for me. Somebody had their eye on me. Because when I went into that church house, I responded to the gospel of Christ. Somebody had been praying for me. They saw, you know, oh, look, Michael's preaching with the youth. He's going to be a preacher. And it's not just, you know, we're all called to be preachers, but you've got a call on God's call. Life is on you. You have an anointing. You have a purpose to fulfill. If God's given you talents, if God's given you these things, get up and serve. How much longer will you debate these things with God? There's not much time left. Your life could be demanded today. But I know what my Jesus did. He saw the sins of my past and present and even future. And he took it on the cross. Like Pastor Jason said earlier, they ripped out his beard. They put those thorns on his head, that crown of thorns, and the blood trickled down. He was beaten so bad that the book of Isaiah says he was beaten beyond human recognition. Why? I take that personally. Nobody knows me better than Jesus. But yet he said, I love you, Michael. And I know you're going to get this right, Michael, because I'm not going to give up on you, Michael. And we got to take this personally. This relationship with Jesus has to be personal. But to those who are perishing, it's just foolishness. One day I'm going to be dead and gone. I'm reminded of that fact as I saw my father yesterday laying in the hospital bed. As a little boy, my dad was Superman to me. I've seen my dad beat up guys 6'3" in his day. Tough Marine. Saw him rip a guy's ear off one time with his bare hands. My dad was a tough guy back in the day. He really was. They wanted him to be a drill sergeant in the Marine Corps. He turned that down. He'd rather just be with his men. My dad was Superman. And now I see my father. He was a runner his whole life, but he's always been in shape, but he because of diabetes, he lost his leg several years ago. And you know, to see him going in and out of consciousness now, you know, they don't know what's going on. You know, I look at my dad, you know, the man that I love with all my heart. He's coming to the end. He may live another 5, 10, 20 years. I don't know. But we're all going to get there one day, physically. But I thank God that God is not done with my father yet. And God is not done with you yet. But I'm reminded that, you know, one day, Michael, I'm not going to be here. There's going to be another preacher in this place. But are you faithful with what God has given to you at this moment? Genesis 6:13 says this. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence throughout them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Luke 17:26-27. Jesus says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The people ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And it was too late for those who gathered at the ark." It was too late. It was too late. My note that I wrote here, that when the flood came and destroyed them all, I wrote here, it was too late for those who gathered at the ark after the door of the ark was sealed by God. You know the story. God drew all the animals by pairs. Noah stood at the door of the ark. Read the Bible. Noah did not go out looking for the animals. The Bible says that Noah stood at the door of the ark. Noah preached for 120 years. God told him he's going to flood the earth, and it took Noah and his three faithful sons to build the ark, to build the church, to build what would save their family. It took them 120 years. Now, there are some books out there outside of the Bible that are very powerful in the testimony that back up what the Bible teaches, but they're not the Word of God. But the early church and the Old Testament church, they read some of these books. One of these books is the book of Asher. You've heard of the book of Asher. It is not to be taken as the Word of God. But it's a historical book that gives strong accounting evidence of what happened in those days. The book of Asher, just like the book of the Maccabees, those are not books to be included in the Bible. I want to be clear about that, okay? But they are very strong historical books, but they are not the Bible. But just like we can read other historical books that speak about World War II, that speak about things in history. Why? Because those people were there and their work has been sifted through as credible. The same with the book of Asher, the same with Josephus, the Jewish historian. It was written that when Noah and the floodwaters were coming upon the earth. Now, this is outside of what the Bible teaches, but think about this. The book of Asher says that over 1 million people possibly came to the boat of Noah, begging to get on the boat. Now, I want you to think with common sense that God gives you. There was a lot of people that saw Noah building an ark for 120 years, and they laughed at him. The Bible says they mocked him. They laughed at him. What happens when rain falls here in town? What happens when floodwaters come? What happens when you're living in the ancient times and you remember that crazy man Noah's got a boat out there. Everyone's going to start running to the boat. Let us in! Oh, wait a minute. There's a story of the bridesmaids. Remember the 10 bridesmaids? When the 5 were wise and the 5 were foolish? And the 5, the groom came and he took the 5 that were ready. But the other 5, they had to go and get oil for their lamps. And when they came, what happened? The door was sealed. And the groom says, I'm sorry, I do not know you. Depart from me. Right? You see, that's the way it was in the book of, with the Bible, it talks about Noah. Noah, he built the ark. He stood at the door and God brought them in. And then the Bible says that, and God sealed the door. Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. 8 people were sealed in by God in the ark. Look, the Bible teaches that we as Christians were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're building an ark for our loved ones. Do you hear me? Hebrews 11:7. This is it right here. This is the final nail in the coffin today. Hebrews 11:7. It says in the New Testament, look, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now I'm going to break this down. This is the key to what a Christian needs in their life today. Number one, Noah was divinely warned. Look at that, please. Noah was divinely warned. Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Do you hear me? Remember that scripture we just read? Noah was divinely warned, says the Bible, of things to come. God does not change. He is the same yesterday and forever. God is warning the church of things to come. The sun, the moon, the stars, they scream out to us. All of these things are happening in real time. So just as God warned Noah and his family in the ark, it's symbolic of the church today. Because Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, the rapture of the church. Please hear me out. So as Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen, things to come, so is the church today. But we're laughed at. We're mocked at. It's foolishness of those who are perishing. They look at what we say, and it's foolishness to them. Number two, Noah was moved with godly fear. And it's no different for the church today. We should be moved with godly fear. It's not the fear that, you know, we experience with men and people. The fear of God means to draw you closer to God. Noah was so close to God that he heard the things of God. He did what he did because he valued his relationship with the Lord. The people in the church today will serve God because they value their relationship with the Lord. Look, I thank God that people come into the house of God and Grace Christian Center and other churches. But I'm going to tell you, I remember Pastor Tony Evans, he said in a sermon, if you come to this church and you've been sitting here for 6 months, something's got to change. You're not coming here to sit. You're coming here to serve. And this is a pastor of a mega church. You know, and I was taught that coming up through the churches. You know, when you get saved and you come into the church, in time, it's time to start serving. Because if your faith is just just come service and that's it and go home, what kind of faith is that? Look at all that's happening. His sons got the hammer, got the nails, whatever you want to say. They went out and got gopher wood. You know, what does that mean? Well, why did they call it gopher wood? The ark was built with gopher wood because Noah said, hey, boy, go for that wood over there. And they thought it was gopher wood. So they got gopher wood. It took them so Noah had no one else but his three boys to help him. And sometimes that's all we got. That's all we have, and that's all we need. It was a family affair with the church, with Noah's ark. Number three, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Look, your faith will save your household. Or your so-called faith will destroy your household. These three boys believed that Noah was a man of God, that they said, I'm going to help my daddy. And we need to help our Father in heaven today. He doesn't need our help, but he's inviting us to come and help. Number four, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness. Does your faith today condemn the world of its sin? Or does your faith one day going to condemn you because you're not living the faith? Think about it. Had Noah built this ark, and then all of a sudden the rain came. God drew the animals in, and everyone's coming in, but God, Noah, you didn't finish the race faithfully. But Lord, the Bible says God will not forget your work. You see, we want to make sure that everything we do is unto the Lord and not unto men. And I've been preaching this for the longest time. You know, I know that I'm going to preach the word of God till the day I die. You know why? Because God told me that. That tells me that God, I have assurance in the Lord that God's going to keep me. But where I preach, I don't know. I'm not in charge of none of that. But I know that God said, this is what you do. I've given you this. He's given you this too. You know, some people have gotten upset with me in the past because I've said this church can close down. If the right people who are coming here are not helping in the building, God will close it down. Why? Because he wants your faith to be right. So it's not just about coming and singing a song. It's not just about coming and, you know, occasionally throwing $20 in the offering bucket. You know, we drive around in $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 cars, but yet we only give $20-$30 to the church. When the world, you don't understand, the world is pulling at the church to be destroyed financially. Amen. That's the only way they know to come against churches now. I'm not worried at all. But when I look at the people who come here that give with all of their blood, sweat, and tears, while some don't, some do, God sees it all. We should be well balanced in a church where everybody is doing their very best. And you see, Cain was just giving. Abel was giving. Cain was giving, but God rejected his giving. Why? Because it was not done with the right heart. It's not just about your tithes and offerings. It's about everything. Do you have a call in your life to serve? Are you meeting the needs of the saints by serving faithfully? You see, you could be giving, and at the end of your life, Christian, you could be rejected. Because look at Cain. Sin was dominant in his life. If you're at home arguing and fighting and complaining, and if you're at home and sin is dominant in your house, in your mind, your giving of everything that Jesus is telling you to give is not going to be right. It's not. And it's time to get it right. This is what Resurrection Sunday is about. This is what building the ark is all about. Look, I'm not here to judge anybody. I am a very imperfect man. But God's not done with me yet. You know, my wife and kids, grown kids, will tell you, I got a lot of things that you know, hey, man, dad, you know, they can go to town. But what is undeniable is that they know I love Jesus. And Jesus knows that you love him. But we must show it. James said, you say you have faith? The book of James says, but I'll show you my faith by the things I do. I'm not saved by my works, but I'm saved to do good works. In 2 Peter 3:3-7, Peter says, know this first, that scoffers, meaning people, like in the days of Noah, they laughed at him. Know this first, says Peter. He speaks of the end time. that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. See, they will come, people who laugh at God will come in the last days, and they'll live according to their own way, their own lust. You're not in love with this. You're in lust. They will come according to their own lust. Verse 4, and they will say, where is the promise of this coming of Jesus? For since the fathers, meaning since the ancients, fell asleep, all things, the world continues from the beginning of creation. It's just on a cycle. It's just going and continuing over and over. But verse 5 says this, Peter says, but they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which that world of Noah existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by that same word as the word that was given to Noah, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Judgment is coming to this earth, because the door of grace and mercy has been open for 2,000 years. You know, a lot of people say, Pastor, why you talk about wrath and judgment and fire and hell and brimstone? Because the grace and mercy has been open for 2,000 years and judgment is coming. Do you know, I look at the injustices of what is happening in this world, all the children that are being murdered, all the injustices over the elderly, people being scammed, people being set up, people being murdered, people being deceived, all of the evil that's happening in the world in my lifetime that I've seen. And I'm like, God, I know you see this. I know you see this. God is coming to bring judgment to ungodly men. New Testament right there. God says, but before I do that, he's showing signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. The solar eclipse, it's coming. It's a testimony of God that the things of God are coming to pass. They will come to pass. And what are we going to do about this? Look, my last scripture in Romans 1:18. And if this doesn't do it, I'm just going to roll up the extension cord and I'm out of here. Romans 1:18. Now, before I read it, watch this. This book, Romans, was written by the Apostle Paul to the early church in Rome, who were known for worshiping many idols. And Paul gives them a glimpse, and it speaks directly what I'm saying in this whole message. Paul says in Romans 1:18, he says, for the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God, or let me look, read this up here. I'm reading it wrong. NLT. Here we go. But God shows his anger. The wrath of God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people from who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Look at that verse for just a moment. God shows his anger from heaven against the wicked on the earth. What does that tell you? And what I have been saying this whole message, there are signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. God speaks to us ultimately at the end of the day by what he said he's doing in the heavens. Look at that. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful people, the world who is in sin, who suppress the truth by their wickedness. What I'm saying today, people are trying to suppress what I'm saying. We see that happening. There's a fight out there for truth. Look, verse 19. They know the truth about God because God has made it obvious to them. For since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. God said in Genesis 1:14, I will put the sun and the moon and the stars in the heavens, and they will be for signs. You see what thousands of years later, what Paul is saying? God is saying, they know I am who I am by my creation, what I put in the earth and in the skies. Verse 21, Paul says, yes, They knew God, meaning the wicked knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Verse 23, and instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Remember when I just read to you what NASA, they named their rocket program APEP, A-P-E-P? It's named after the ancient serpent deity that went against the moon god of the Egyptians, Ra. Paul is speaking about the times of the ancients. They worshiped all of these things. But we still worship these things today because look at what NASA does. You know, when you build a school out there, Nolan Ryan Junior High, why? Because we're Nolan Ryan's a hometown hero. We're proud of Nolan Ryan. Put slap his name up on that school. Why would NASA take an ancient serpent deity, the god of darkness, the god of evil, and place it today in our modern day 2024, to shoot at the solar eclipse? Because God is saying, I'm showing you the signs through solar eclipses that I'm coming. And NASA is shooting the ancient serpent deity at the signs of God. Oh, this is just coincidence. Let me tell you something. Even our own CIA says there is nothing that is coincidence. Nothing is coincidence, says the CIA. Verse 24. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their heart desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Look, when you walk away from God, you dishonor God. I'm saying it again. When you walk away from God, you dishonor God with your body because your spirit has been corrupted. They traded the truth of God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the creator himself. You worship yourself. You're a creation of God. Not just the sun and the moon and the stars that they would worship, but they even worship themselves. They're the creation. Again, so who is worthy of eternal praise? Amen. Verse 26. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against their natural way to have sex and indulge in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal relations with women, they burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. And since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking, and he let them do things they should never be done. God said, you want this? There you go. You can have it. Verse 29, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. And they invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand. They break their promises. They are heartless, and they have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, but yet they do them, and anyway, worse yet, they encourage others to do them as well. My last scripture, Romans 2. In verse 15, verse 16, Paul says, and this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. Paul knew it. When Paul spoke to these Gentiles about God, he said in chapter 1, look up. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, look up. The signs are going to be in the heavens. Jesus says in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, when you see all these things happening, Jesus says, look up. Your redemption draws near. I am not a prophet. And I, with great humility, I come to tell you that I am just a watcher of the Church of Jesus Christ. I am amongst the thousands and thousands. But the watchers are united in saying that we are in that day of the last hours. While many churches are celebrating the Easter Bunny and Easter eggs, I have nothing to do with that. That's ancient mythology. I'm not going to dare tell this young generation of kids to believe in the Easter Bunny, to believe in Santa Claus, and then when they get of age, try and tell them about Jesus. They're going to say, you lied to me about the Easter Bunny. You lied to me about Santa Claus. Now you want me to believe in this Jesus? I see it all the time. I see it all the time. You know, my time is limited. My time is limited, but God is not. And God will speak to his people now and forever. Receive this word in Jesus' name. Give God praise in this house.